This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
I'm Chinee Ogwumike.
I'm Lisa Leslie, and we're very excited to tell you about our new podcast with Blue Wire, Front and Center.
Lisa and I are breaking down what's going on in our lives, in the world, and keeping it 100.
We're also learning from amazing guests as well, like Emmanuel Acho.
People that show love to me, I forever got their back.
Vivica A. Fox.
If the foundation isn't right, then the rest of it's going to go wrong from there.
And more.
Subscribe to Front and Center today.
Everyone,
welcome to the biz.
We are here to give you the latest and greatest biz there is on the market, and we have the one and only Chad with us once again. We love having Chad here, of course. The man, the myth, the legend, the ledge, the Chad. Good to have you. By the way, we are all, you know, we're sipping on a little sum tonight, you know. Riz is already like 8 deep, so if you hear him slur, you know, don't worry about it too much.
All right, dude.
So, we have some topics to talk about today. A lot of main topics. Before we get into all those main topics, let's go over the most recent news. The most recent biz as of late in the Rocket League scene. We have Squishy Muffins receiving his first ban, okay? His ban, it was an indefinite ban, you know, because Twitch doesn't like to give you a timed amount for your bans. They like to just hit you with a ban. And, you know, he got unbanned. I will say that before we get into discussing it. So he got unbanned. It took some uniting from the Rocket League community to get him unbanned. And, you know, I think this is a good subject to bring up because DMCAs are, you know, growing stronger. They are, you know, they're more deadly. They're like coming in hot for the kill. They're coming to ban your channel, okay? And so I want to get your guys' takes on the DMCAs. I want to know what you think it does to people's careers, you know, if it's, you know, with the music industry. We talked about it a little bit. We touched on it last week about DMCAs, about the companies, and, you know, I know, let's talk about it some more now.
Well, I mean, it's serious. Like, it's serious, and I think this is like a great display of like how serious streamers need to be taking this, by all means.
Do you think the record labels should never be able to do this, and that they shouldn't be able to just instantly terminate a channel, especially someone Squishy size? Like, literally, like it's nothing. Like, Squishy, like, obviously, you know, they'll probably get a channel back. Like, if anyone that gets banned, they'll get their channel back. But even the risk they don't is just so stupid that you even have to worry about it.
Well, it's not guaranteed, right, that they'll even necessarily get their channel back. And yeah, that's kind of what's scary. I mean, I think what Twitch is probably issuing these bans, like, immediately, right? Just to protect themselves, to protect Twitch as an entity. But, I mean, yeah, I don't know. It's definitely like really serious, and you know, it's gonna get to the point where like these bans are gonna happen, and people probably will not get unbanned. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
yeah.
Especially the more relevant they are, like the more relevant DMCAs are, the more often we see them. I feel like people will stop getting banned or stop getting unbanned for them.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised his ban only lasted like 2 hours.
Yeah, it was like 2 hours, 27 minutes.
Yeah, like, I'm happy for him, but that was so weird that his ban was indefinite. And then, I don't know, do you think the Rocket League community actually helped that? Or do you think it was more so he actually just reached out to somebody and was like, hey, I got banned, what's up?
I know he did reach out to someone, so I think it was more that than it was the Rocket League community.
Right, the hashtag.
But for the storyline, exactly. For the storyline, let's go with the hashtag Free Squishy. But 90% sure it was because Squishy contacting the people over at Twitch, gotten banned, and you know he's back. But it's just like it's just so weird that that's even a possibility. I really hate that we even have to like bring this up, or that Squishy even got banned. It's just a dumb, thing to even discuss. Because I feel like my channel, is specifically, like I know other people are different, but like with my channel specifically, I feel like my music relates a lot to like my personality and stuff and how the stream vibe is and usually is. But like you can't even use the same music anymore. So it's like I feel like everyone's streams are going to be so much more boring now. You know, obviously you could still make great content. You could still have a fun time with DMCA free royalty free music, but still it just feels wrong. I'd be not able to listen to it.
Yeah. I feel that. I feel like record labels are like within their right to kind of stop it, but I don't know about fully like banning somebody. You know what I mean? I mean, that's probably like
it's crazy.
Twitch is doing. I'm not sure, truthfully, but because the way YouTube does it is they kind of just take your monetization. So I was talking about this earlier with like my chat during my stream. Is they just kind of take your monetization and give it over to the record label? But how would Twitch do that if somebody is giving you bits or subs? And you know, and say like a record label comes in and is like, "Hey, well, actually, wait, this is my music. This is my content." Do they just give over sub money, or do they just ban you instead? You know what I mean? Because YouTube doesn't really ban for that stuff.
Well, I mean, I think until there's a way, like some sort of system developed for them to really like find the valuation that the music is bringing to the stream, it's going to be a sort of just like nip it in the bud type scenario where Twitch just issues the ban. And I mean, the laws surrounding like the DMCA laws are just like, they're ancient, man. They're ancient. They're not for our current digital age anymore.
Yeah.
I don't know if they like ever even really were. Like the usage of like the music in live streams and like everything, it's new. You know what I mean? It's like they're just hungry. They don't want to miss out on the cash. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of cash to be had with the DMCAs. But I mean, again, I just want to touch on that briefly. You know, just let everyone know about it, inform everyone on that little biz right there. Let's go into the next topic, which is stable team environments. It's a kind of general overall topic. We wanted to start off with discussing Kronovi. This is a lot of recent news coming at you. We got Crow leaving Rogue. Pretty intense move from him because everyone kind of knew there was some beef, some intensity between the players the whole season. So it was kind of nice reading the twit longer because it was like kind of confirmed everyone's suspicions about the team. So let's go over this, and you want to read off the twit longer, is that little paragraph?
Oh sure, I took like Crow put out like a twit longer that was like maybe 6 or 7 paragraphs, but this one specifically I feel like is super important to what we're talking about.
Yeah,
let's read it. It says, "First, I want to start off with the reason why I left. As I'm sure most people can guess, the team environment was far from perfect. Personalities on the team clashed quite a bit, and it often led to animosity during practice and or live games. Before the major happened, I had a talk with our manager. I told him if we couldn't overcome the hurdles we had tripped on at all the other regionals, then I would like to be put up for transfer / be released. I felt like the three of us on Rogue had hit our peak, and I was tired of trudging through practice with a team that I know wanted to replace me that couldn't even compete with the top four."
And it doesn't really say it too much here, but like for people that don't know, there was something that happened before the season started where First Killer was in a Twitch chat. I don't remember whose Twitch chat.
I don't remember who it was either. But
yeah, but he came into the Twitch chat and basically said, "I got one upgrade, just got to wait till the next season to get another." And, you know, and there's no one else. And I remember at first tried to play it off like he was talking about his coach or something. And, you know, that's obviously just stupid. So everyone knew he was talking about Crow. And, you know, from then, I knew the whole team was chalked. I'm like, 100% this team is already ruined, and they just formed. Like, it was just, like, there was no way that team would have worked. So it just felt like a wasted season from them. And that's how we can get into the main topic, the importance of Steam, of a stable team environment. And so, you know, I think let's go into my experience with Insol, and then we can relate that into dealing with loss and everything. So Crow had a bad experience with his team. Obviously, it wasn't a good environment. Maybe it was a little toxic. We don't really know. Probably that what happened was like they would scrim, they would maybe lose, they would do bad in the tournament, and then they wouldn't talk after. They would literally just leave and not talk about the loss and then move on like it never happened. Okay, actually, we'll talk about the losses first. Talk about install later. So dealing with losses on a team. I think too many teams take losses too hard. Like you can lose a series, like a really important series. You could take it hard and you can like, you know, keep it as a chip on your shoulder and like remember that you lost it. But you shouldn't be like sulking in it and just like trying to think of trying to think of someone to blame for the reason you lost and like and not trying to look at the overall team as an issue, or you know, whether it's mental, whether it's in game, whether it's one person or whether it's the whole team. Like you need to, you know, work together to try to solve that. And I want to hear what you do, Riz. And actually, Chad probably has a lot of info on this too, from PUBG, from different teams. I know Chad's been on some CS teams and stuff like that. So it probably some good info from an FPS player to see some different types of team environments.
I feel like I kind of want to hear Chad's take first.
Yeah.
On this.
I mean, I don't know. The thing is, when it comes to competing on a team in any scenario, whatever it is, if you're competing on a team where you have, you know. You have teammates, okay? They don't have to be your best buds, all right? They don't have to be your best pals necessarily. Obviously, things work a little better if they are, if you do get along well. But at the end of the day, like, you're reaching for a common goal and you assembled this team to try to reach it. So you have to work together to sort of achieve that. So you have to have some sort of mutual respect for one another, right? And this kind of loops back into what I was saying last week about how with Rocket League, just being a three-man lineup, it's really easy to like to kind of single people out and to let this toxic environment flow. I think when it comes to like certain FPS games, it's a little different. You have a wider roster, right? So there's more intricacies behind the scenes as to like what your team's thinking, what's going on and everything. But like... That's the thing. You have to have mutual respect for one another, and you have to work towards your common goal. Even if you're upset, you can't let your emotions get the best of you. It's like a job, essentially. You got to get your bottom line, you know, doing whatever it takes. And sometimes that means like maybe you don't fuck with this guy. You know, maybe he's not your best pal, but like you got to work together and you got to try to work out those issues without singling someone out. And if you do think genuinely that someone is the problem or there's an issue, you got to confront them. You got to communicate. Communication is everything. It's like a relationship, right? Your teammates, it's like being in a relationship, and you have to nurture that relationship and take care of it, and you have to respect it, you know?
Yeah, I feel that. I feel like also you're mentioning how like you have to work together as a team. I feel like there is a point where you kind of think, okay, maybe as a team, this is not going to work anymore. Mm. And you know, maybe we should consider a replacement. But I don't, in this specific scenario, I don't think that situation should be before the season starts.
Yeah. And think that's what makes the situation just so like weird. Like, I don't know, like, I'm not trying to like target like first killer and like call him like a terrible teammate, but like, you know, that's something that absolute shit tier teammate would do. Like, you don't really go around publicly. Like, if you immediately like start of the season think that you're going to go around and tell people that you can't wait to like upgrade, I think like for the rest of your rock of the career, people are going to recognize you as like a bad teammate. So,
Definitely.
Yeah,
I
mean,
people won't cut him slack either. Like even from like a fan point of view, it's like, oh well, he replaced anytime he loses any match or whatever, they're always going to like point to first killer. If anything happens, they'll just be like, oh well, you know, he missed that one save or anything like that. It's always going to be, you know, the fans aren't really going to be a fan of him specifically, even if they're a fan of the team.
It's definitely a lot more pressure on him, that's for sure.
I mean,
there's no reason to put that kind of pressure on yourself.
And not to like gang up on first killer, right? Like, we don't know their team dynamic. We don't know like what kind of communication they had, you know? Like, maybe Crow necessarily like didn't reach out and try to communicate in the way he should have as well, which can also, you know, like ramp up the drama and ramp up the emotions. Because I mean, we all have emotions. At the end of the day, like, everyone's passionate, right? Everyone's passionate about what you're doing in this scenario. And so emotions are going to flow. The more passionate you are, the more emotions you're going to let out. And it's about handling those. And we don't know what's going on with that team. We, you know, we're not in their comms. We don't see their messages. So we can't really say who's to blame for anything. You know, I think everyone's to blame for the team not working out. I think it's everyone is at fault. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, 100%. And any team I've ever been on, it's never been one person. Aside from the next case that I will transition over to.
Even though sports had a break, your business didn't. You have to keep moving, and that makes hiring more important than ever. Indeed is here to help. Indeed.com is the number one job site in the world because Indeed gets you the best people fast. Unlike other sites, Indeed gives you full control and payment flexibility over your hiring. You only pay for what you need, you can pause your account at any time, and there are no long-term contracts. Plus, Indeed provides powerful tools to make your search that much easier. Like sponsored jobs, which are shown to be 3.5 times more likely to result in a hire. With 73% of online job seekers visiting Indeed each month, Indeed is going to get you the important hire you need, just like they have for over 3 million businesses. Right now, Indeed is offering our listeners a free $75 credit to boost your job post, which means more quality candidates will see it fast. Try Indeed out with a free $75 credit at Indeed.com/BlueWire. This is their best offer available anywhere. Go right now to Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Offer valid through December 31st. Football is back in full swing. You might not be at a game this year, but you can still be in on the action at BetOnline. BetOnline is going the extra mile to make sure you can get in on every possible chance to win this season. From game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props, BetOnline gives you more options to wager than anywhere else. You can get in on their season opening bonus today and start off wagering on wins, division, and championship futures all day, every day. Head to BetOnline today and take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. Don't forget to use promo code BLUEWIRE at betonline.ag. That's Blue Wire, all one word. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts.
I've talked about this before, but, you know, it hasn't really been with a group. I talked about it. I mentioned it on my stream solo, but this does relate to a team environment. You know, usually, like I remember when it was me, Joro, and Cobb, and like everyone was blaming Joro for like us playing poorly, but like it really wasn't Joro's fault. Like, he was put into, like, an RLCS level, like, immediately from no experience.
Do you want to give more perspective on this? Like, to people who might not know what you're talking about?
Yeah, yeah. So, in season three. In season, like, 6 or 5, we replaced Insolences with Joro, who didn't have too much experience in RLCS at all. And, you know, he was, like, put in... There was not much time to, like, choose someone else to replace either. And, you know, he's like a rookie coming into RLCS, and there's a lot of pressure on him, and he's joining me and Jacob, who have been in RLCS since the beginning. And it was just like a weird season for him, and everyone kind of blamed him for doing poorly. But like, I never thought it was Joro's fault. Like, even he own goaled in his first touch in RLCS. Like, imagine that. Imagine your first
his literal
touch.
First touch.
Yeah, his first touch ever in RLCS was an own goal. Not even like a shot or anything. His first touch was an own goal. And like even then, like we didn't like, you know, the own goal happened and like it was in his head, but like, you know, me and Jacob didn't care. Like we just like moved on from it. Like we were like, it happened. And I think we won that game anyway.
Yeah, you gotta laugh about stuff like that, man.
Yeah, if it's bad advice, it's just not, and no one's gonna like be able to move on with it. So me and Jacob just laughed about it or like, and then we're like, just don't worry about it, they'd move on. So anyway, let's get back to Insol. So team environment with Insol. Insol was going through a weird phase, I will say that, and as we're in like we're talking about like mental health later in the stream, I will say he was kind of going through a weird phase, both like mentally, and he was kind of going through like a slight stoner phase, but aside from that, you know, he didn't put in any hours into practicing or prepping for the teams we were going to play compared to me and Jacob. And one thing that you expect from a teammate is to put in the same amount of work and effort that you're going to put in. So if me and Jacob are putting in 70, 80, 90 hours every 2 weeks, and we're making sure we're at every scrim, and then you can't make sure to put in the effort once a week at least. Like this is I'm going to talk about 1 week only because this is too long of a topic. 1 week, we had C9 and NRG in the same week. Okay, C9 at the time is Squishy Muffins, Gimmick, and Torment. NRG is Fireburner, Justin, and Garrett, okay? And we had them on the same week. It's the most important week that we have. So me and Jacob are like, this is the most hours we've had the whole season in 2 weeks. And then Insol, that for that week, he didn't even show up to a single scrim. So we went in. We went in to Saturday. 5 days, not a single scrim. We went in, and we didn't have any practice, and we got slapped. I think we lost and like four games in each series. And it was just like such a terrible, like from that season, that was like week two. And from week two, we knew the season was over. Like, we didn't want to play anymore because it was like just
doomed. Right.
Yeah. So immediately we like chalked our season. Like, there's no point. There's no point to play because this guy doesn't want to show up for scrim. And so now I want you guys to add on to it and go on to the next part that I wrote, because I think you guys probably can give a lot. I don't know how much you guys dealt with Insol being like this, because also he was a little bit more normal back in your days. So, you know, go ahead. I'll let you guys have the stage.
I feel like I want to shift this to Chad again first. just for your experience with insolences.
I mean, dude. Okay. I mean, Insol's a good kid, man. He's a good kid. I want to start by saying that.
Yeah, we should say, we have nothing against Insol.
Nothing. No, I love Insol.
He's good for this topic.
Yeah, yeah. He's just the worst team I've ever had, but I like him now.
Nah, he's a good kid. I definitely think, I mean, you got to think about how young he was. I mean, just talking about like our season, right? Like, he's a really young kid. He's got a lot going on. You know, you got a lot of hormones. You got a lot going on at that age. He's like, what, 16, right?
Yeah, I think he was like 16 with
us. He's like 16. There's a lot going on at that age, man. As many, you know, you guys can attest to, and I'm sure a lot of people listening can attest to that. You know, it's a confusing time. It can be strange. And it's kind of tough to balance all that being a normal 16-year-old kid in high school growing up with, you know, whatever problems he might have at home or like whatever else. And then also like trying to balance this like professional Rocket League career and like personality that he was becoming. And I know like it was definitely a bit of a struggle when he was with Take Three to get him online. Like when we needed him online, like at the right time for scrims or practice, it was a lot of like me just spam calling his phone and texting him and like sending messages and like just like, you know, giving him ample heads up of like when shit was happening and like just constant communication. And, you know, like I also tried to, you know, I like the kid, man. He's awesome. And I feel like he had like a good amount of respect for me and Dylan, especially. So he listened to us a little bit more. And that kind of, you know, I feel like that gave us a bit of an insight into his mindset and what he was thinking and all that. But it definitely wasn't easy getting him online when you need to be. Definitely wasn't like
it was, you know, never easy.
I'll be honest, I don't even remember that, like, you specifically spam calling
him.
Oh yeah,
I would all the time, bro. Why do you think he was always online for scrims, dude?
Yeah, we had Fickle
then,
do that.
We did scrim, like, back then the scrims were nothing like they were now. Like, you have specific schedules and stuff, like, you know, like way ahead of time, and it's expected of you to show up to scrims. But back then it was like, do we have scrims today?
I
would message, you would message, we had just like message every, you know, anyone, any of the top teams or like RLCS teams, we'd just be like, anyone want to play? Like,
yeah,
we need the boys to play. Like, let's get it going.
Now we schedule like weeks in advance. Back then it was really like day of, like, yo, dog, hey, you got a scrim? You got a scrim? Oh, okay, you take it? You mind telling me who so I don't have to ask him? And you go ask the next team. And that's how it was all the time back in the day.
Specifically, I mean, for Insol, like, with me personally, like, I didn't know you spam called him. So that's something that I didn't know we dealt with.
That's my job, bro.
I was going to say, that's just the great role as coach
slash
manager.
Don't gotta worry about that, bro. I take care of you, you know?
Hey, there he is. But, I mean, personally, like, I don't think I dealt with anything horrible with Insol. Like, I was pretty, I was chill with him. Like, we were cool. And, like, there wasn't anything that I felt like that was super unprofessional besides that, like, he just tilted a lot. But besides that, like, that's just the
he did tilt
thing.
A
like,
lot. Yeah,
some people just tilt way more than other.
Yeah, you can't really. Like, I mean, usually the thing with Insol is he would tilt, but honestly, it wouldn't really like affect him too much because he's like memeing sometimes when he tilts.
Yeah,
I think it affects him more than he would lead on, to be honest.
Yeah. Probably. Yeah. That's true. Yeah. That's true. Insol's a funny dude. I'll see Insol now in ranked. Like, you know what? You want to know a funny story? Insol, like, will be in ranked. I was like playing with Garrett or something, and like we ran into Insol. And Insol would just like he would beat Garrett to a ball, and then he would just type in chat like, "Holy fuck, I'm speedy!" Like, he would just, he would literally be like, "Oh, I'm still the fastest!" Like, he just loves hyping himself up like that. I think that's fucking hilarious, and I think Insol would have been a really good player if he hadn't been so stupid, because really it was just him being so stupid that held him back. Like, I tried to put it into his head. I'm like, dude, I'm just going to say the salary we got because I don't really care. We were on Rogue, and Insol was making no salary, and then we joined Rogue, and immediately we got him on starting salary, 7K a month. Immediately. Insol was making zero, and immediately he went from zero to seven. And instead That's of fat, grinding, bro. Dude, instead of grinding, he literally lowered his hours to like 10 hours every 2 weeks. So imagine, chat, I want you to imagine, you're spending 5 hours a week at your job, and you're making 7K a month. I want you to take that in and imagine that.
You know what the best part is, actually, specifically about this? On my team, he was fine, right? After that, that dude spent so much time on CSGO, I don't even know if he ever touched Rocket League.
Dude, that's what changed him, dude. CS had to have been what changed him.
You forgot about that?
I forgot all about that.
He put so many hours into CS. No. He had, you'd look at it and you'd be like, oh my God, Insol has 140 hours in the past 2 weeks. Let's see what games he's playing.
It's like 130.
CSGO, 130 hours on CSGO. But like 10 hours in Rocket League.
Absolutely fucking crazy.
I remember that because he'd always ask me to play. He'd be like, hey, bro, come play CS with me. I'm just like, dude, shouldn't you be playing Rocket League? Like,
dude. He was asking like 1v1, like he wanted to like try hard sweat 1v1 to prove he was better than me at CS. And I'm just like, you gotta just like stop being stupid, please. And like that was the end of the conversation. Cause there was no point to try to go on with him about that.
You know, I mean, like,
you go.
I was gonna say like 7K a month, that's like just like objectively, that's a lot of money. But the thing about it, he's like 17 years old, like tell me he's
playing
not
video
like
games.
Just flexing on all his homies and all the chicks he goes to school with. Like, you know, even if he wasn't like on his computer playing Counter-Strike at the time, he was probably like out there, like, you know, trying to ball out a little bit, bro, you know?
Yeah, I feel like people don't take into perspective of how much that actually is. Like 7K a month still sounds like a lot, but that's still $84,000 a year. Like a lot
crazy.
Of people take it in as like a yearly salary, but $84,000 a year as well.
Insol's age.
He didn't get that much because I don't think he lasted that long. I don't even think he lasted.
Yeah, it didn't last that long, though.
No. Regardless, it's still a lot of money.
It is a lot. And it is very surprising that you wouldn't want to grind for that money, but you know.
I would mention one more person who kind of did this was Lucinio in like season one or two. He constantly played H1Z1.
True. He did. Insol. Lucinio would have been on that Iris team if he kept grinding, to be honest.
They kind of shifted the blame on that. I forgot about that completely. It was Torment, Squishy, and
Latch.
Lucinio, yeah.
And then they picked
up
Gimmick.
And they kind of shifted the blame on him because he wouldn't get off H1.
Yeah, I mean, both Latch and Insol's careers and Matt, I'm going to say my old teammate Matt, could all be completely different if they had a better mindset of taking things more seriously.
Yeah. But 100%. I feel like it's so hard. It's so hard at that age as well.
Mm-hmm. It is hard. But you know what's crazy is with Matt, my old teammate, for anyone that doesn't know Matt, season 3 Rogue, season 2, I met Matt season 1, and up until season 4, I stopped teaming with him. And Matt probably could have been one of the best Rocket League players to this day. I think a lot of people would attest to that. Back in season 3, he was probably top 3 in NA. I would probably put like Garrett, JNaps, and Matt, my top 3 in NA. And Matt just had a horrible mentality about about enjoying the game, about trying not to get like depressed just because you're playing the game, having to grind the game. It's like he just couldn't accept this game as a job. I think him making the game as a job ruined it for him, and he didn't enjoy it anymore. But it's like, you know, the opportunities for you to in the future, if you kept going with the game, are like endless. So it's just crazy to me how much wasted opportunities there are with Rocket League.
Yeah. No, I definitely think the whole like transition into like, this is no longer your hobby, this is no longer like your chill downtime, this is like how you're making your money, like this is your profession now, that's a huge thing for a lot of people. I mean, even me, like even now, like I did take some time off away from the stream for like a year and a half, 2 years. I was streaming like every now and again, I'd hop back on for like a month or so, but I realistically took about 2 years off. And I think, you know, among other factors, part of the reason was that streaming became like just the tedious, like 9-to-5, like job thing. It wasn't my like hop on, play games with my friends and like unwind and like relax and have a good time anymore. And I think that's something like I even personally struggled with, was that sort of transition, because it really changes how you look at it and how you enjoy it and how you experience it, you know? So, I mean, I couldn't imagine like at that age having to deal with that on top of like whatever else you got going on And, you know, we don't know what's going on behind the scenes, you know, with their mental health or like what other factors. And we'll get more into mental health later into the podcast. But
yeah, I want to mention that as well, that like just because we say like, oh, it's all these people didn't take it seriously. You know, sometimes mentally you might not feel like you actually can take it seriously. So like that is it might true, seem yeah. like a wasted opportunity, yeah. but to that person specifically, it might seem like at that time there's no chance they could even do such a thing.
Right.
That's true. That is true. All right, Chad, you want to lead us on to our next topic?
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Do you the practice one or the next?
No, the next. And then we
okay. So I wanted to bring this up.
What is
so
it?
Let's talk about OC Rocket League.
That was weird. That was weird.
Yeah.
Sorry about that. We had a
Let's go on to the next one.
Yeah, I had to cut him out.
We
from
have
the
something else here.
Really
something
quick.
Impact on content creators through Rocket League free to play. Actually,
yeah. Should we bring him back? That? Should we? Do we let him talk?
Did you kick him?
Yeah, I did. Shut.
Okay.
I'll bring him back.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Never again. Never again.
Yeah, don't. Nah. No, we don't do OCE.
Not cool, man.
We don't do OCE, dude. Okay.
My bad.
Next.
My fault.
No, you're good. Rizzo, why don't you go ahead, man? Sorry.
You're new.
Yeah. I'm losing my mind out here right now. Rizzo, why don't you go ahead on to next. I can't speak anymore. I'm losing my mind.
Okay. We got. I don't know if we touched on this in other episodes, but the past two episodes of impact on content creators through Rocket League free to play and just in general for these people, what Rocket League free to play has brought to them. I wrote down like a few stats and I kind of want to explain like the significance of that. So John Salmon went from, this is on YouTube, by the way, 5 million channel views a month to 15 million. Musty went from 9 million channel views a month to 35 million. And Sunless went from 11 million channel views a month to 53 million.
Crazy.
That's a fat-ass number.
That's a shit ton, dude.
These are huge numbers.
He's raking in the bag.
Yes, the cash, man.
Crazy.
I have Twitch stats, too, but I want to get into that a little bit, like, just after this specifically. With, like, YouTube monetization, like, it's not a joke. And seeing those numbers in Rocket League is unreal.
Crazy.
For me, because, I mean, I can understand just somebody even seeing those numbers and be like, oh my god, it kind of paid off or whatever. It's like, I've been in this scene for three, four, five years or whatever for some of these people. And it's just like seeing those numbers and like your channel absolutely explode is, I mean, I probably unreal for them.
I mean, I think you have the best insight into it. I feel like you've been one of the longest running like Rocket League YouTubers in the scene. Like,
the problem is I don't actually upload on YouTube that much.
I mean, like you used to.
Yeah,
so you have
an
idea of like how the scale was back then, like even compared to now.
Yeah. No, these guys like easily triple, quadruple the revenue, and you could imagine they're making like a pretty penny. Specifically for me, I don't even upload that much and I don't need any of the other stuff. I don't need Twitch. I don't need a contract. I don't need esports. And so seeing that and seeing these numbers, like I don't upload and I know for a fact that these guys are raking it in, just to say the least.
Yeah, no, facts, dude. Facts.
Like those are numbers you'd expect from like Fortnite. And so those are Fortnite channel views.
Yeah,
you know
no,
I mean?
I'm not going to lie. Those numbers are crazy. And, you know, that's like six figs a month, like no cap. Like if you're like with the rate,
depending
it's
on what the content is. Yeah. It could easily be six figures a month.
Yeah. I feel like with streams and with everything, like if they actually grinded out like the whole spiel during the free to play, they'd be raking in. I feel like John might be making just as much off of Twitch right now too. Because have you watched John's streams lately? They've been, like, actually popping.
I don't know. That dude streams super late for most of the time.
He streams a lot, though. But, like John is, like, dedicated. But, like, all of them have been just going off, dude. Even other channels. Like, I know. I think Leth's views have gone up. I think Mercy's views have also gone up. Yeah. I know Pulse Flyer's views have gone up. I know my CPM personally has gone up a lot, like $3. My CPM's gone up.
Do you just want to explain what CPM is for anybody curious?
I don't even know really how to explain it. But
okay, it's called clicks per milli, and milli means 1,000.
Yeah.
So per 1,000 clicks, you're supposedly supposed to get this amount of money. So Sis saying his CPM went up $3. That means every 1,000 clicks, he's getting $3 more.
Yeah. So before I was getting, I'll just tell you, I was getting like around, I feel like around like 6 to 7 or something around there, CPM. I just saw what Johnny said too. Yeah. No, I mean, my views haven't really changed either. I don't really know. I didn't really even look at my own channel. I looked at the other channels. But I feel like my views haven't changed too much. Maybe a little bit more. But all I've noticed is my CPM is more.
Yeah. I don't know why specifically that happens. It might just be because it's like October, November. So it's like holiday months. So your CPM just goes up regardless. Because YouTube ad revenue is so all over the place. It's so hard to judge somebody, be like, oh, they get 50 million views, they get this amount of money. Like, mm-hmm. It just doesn't work that way. It never works that way. It's always so differentiated, and there's so many factors to what can change it.
Speaking of money earned from channel views or YouTube views, did you see that one video? This is like completely unrelated to Rocket League. And did you see that one video that Dream posted about how he didn't make any money off of his first 4 or 5 viral videos? Yeah. So he made literally $0 off of like 4 videos with like hundreds of millions of views in total.
Really?
Yeah.
Why is that?
I watched the video. No, I watched the video and I literally don't even remember why. But there was a video he posted that explained it. And I probably should have watched the video, but I didn't know we were going to talk about this. So that's like a good, something I should have researched. But if you guys want to watch the video, I'm going to link it in the in the chat. That way you guys can check it out. Let me see.
Oh, someone just said it was because he didn't monetize them. So
really?
That would obviously make sense. Yeah, maybe he didn't have like monetization on his channel at that time.
Yeah, I think that's what it was. Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't link the video,
he's new
but
to
yeah.
YouTube still.
Yeah, his channel's only a year in, and which is insane considering he's now one of YouTube's biggest subscriber channels.
Well, so they weren't monetized. So like there wasn't any ads or anything, right?
He literally couldn't monetize them because his channel was new. So he made no money.
Yeah, I mean, that's how it goes. Yeah.
you're
not selling
goes.
The ads, you're not making the money, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm just saying, that's rough. Imagine you make a new channel, you have a viral video, and you just get no money, though. You know, that's just rough. Just because your channel's new.
I mean, definitely is missing out on, like, some potential cash. But, I mean, you got to start somewhere.
Yeah.
And, like, I mean, those videos, like, blowing up huge. Yeah, like, it seems like he lost out on more money, but, like, it's not really how it is. Even if they, like, blew up, like, not nearly as big, you know what I mean? Like, and he still, like, went towards monetization and everything. It's, like, I don't know. It's kind of hard to be, like, oh, he missed out on all this cash because he wasn't monetized yet. But, like, you got to get started. Like, you got to get it rolling somewhere, you know?
And I don't think he's really complaining at this point.
I mean, like,
I don't think he cares, you know? For those 3 videos or 5 videos, whatever you said, like at this point, he's like, yeah.
At this point, it doesn't matter at all. But
yeah, because I mean, yeah, those videos is where he built his audience from. And
yeah,
now these people are going to watch all his videos that he puts out going forward, which are going to be monetized, which are going to make him money. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, true. Yeah. I agree. But yeah, I mean, it's kind of cool to see how he can grow his channel in just a year. I mean, that dude took something simple that can relate to anyone and just made it like interesting and gave it a storyline, and like, and that's it. He just grew in a year. He just kept going with some new ideas from Minecraft, and he blew up. Like, it's kind of crazy how much you can do. I mean, that could happen with Rocket League theoretically.
Give some background on who Dream is and what he does exactly, because even me, like, all I know is like I've seen him do Minecraft, like a Minecraft speedrun.
Yeah. So he basically just made some random Minecraft video about, like, you know, some exploits about you could do, right? That went viral. Then he did like some hunt videos and some you know, some like videos with his friends that of a group, you know, just doing some activity, some challenge together, and gave it a storyline. And that's his whole video idea every time. It's like a storyline with a challenge and then equals viral video. That's like the formula. And then he gives it, like, you know, the thumbnail, everything, all that's afterwards. And he edits it really well. Gives it good music. You know, everything, every little factor plays into the amount of views it gets.
I mean, I think not only that, like the effort he puts in, like the story he builds in his videos, but he's also like, he's played a lot of Minecraft, bro. And he is mechanically like, insane. It's weird saying, but like mechanically, he is an amazing Minecraft player.
Yeah. Dude's fucking like, cracked.
Yeah. That's great to watch. You know, like anytime you see someone like in the upper echelon of players in a game, like it's always a good time. And the fact that he then put the effort in and built up the story and you know, did all this stuff. It's, you know, it's recipe for success.
Yeah.
You know, back in the day, he would play on the same Minecraft servers I did. So a few months ago, I played on this MCU thing, Minecraft Ultimate.
That tournament thing?
It was like a big Minecraft tournament, and I played with my friend Marcel. And then Dream was mentioning other people, and he's like, oh my god, like Marcel and Rizzo are on the same team. And as soon as he just mentioned my name, so many people came to my chat, and they're like, Dream's talking about you! Dream's talking about you! I was like, yeah, I mean, like, we know of each other. Like, I don't know him. I don't know him. But, like, you know, we know of each other.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's just, like, it's crazy to think that, like, just where he started 5 years ago, because he was really, like, nothing. And, I mean, he, just a year ago, or whatever it was, a year and a few months,
yeah,
he started his channel, and he's just absolutely blown up to, like, the biggest... You know, he's essentially like the size of PewDiePie. Like, he gets more views than PewDiePie. Like, a lot of people know PewDiePie's name, but like, I'd argue maybe more people might know of Dream at this point.
I mean, anytime a Dream video is released, I see it knock number one, number two, number three on trending every single time. Always. And it's like, there's not even a chance it's not. And if you want to see some insane numbers, chat, you should just go to Dream's, what's it called? Social Blade, and just look at that shit. It's gross. It's absolutely gross, his numbers.
It's disgusting.
It's literally one of the most disgusting things I've ever seen. And I've seen
in the
Rizzo.
Best way possible.
Never mind.
Yeah. No, we don't talk about that.
Never mind.
I was about to say, yeah, we can kind of move on from this, but this is back towards Rocket League going free-to-play and just the numbers. I brought up the YouTube numbers of Sunless Musty and John, but specifically for Twitch, before free-to-play was released, the average on Twitch was, or throughout a month, was 10,000 viewers, like just at a time, 10,000 viewers and 600 channels streaming Rocket League at a time. And after free-to-play in October specifically, it averaged 30,000 viewers. So it tripled its viewership and it went up to 1,500 channels streaming at a time. So it basically tripled that as well.
Yes, sir.
And just thinking about how insane that is to completely triple your viewership in general, like the average viewership, it's not even like a peak or anything like that. Just the average going from 10K to 30K is so significant. For every single person that streams Rocket League actively.
Yeah.
I'm curious what you think, like, how much of this is due to actual, like, free-to-play audience coming into the game? Or do you think there's a bit of, like, content creators seeing this, like, free-to-play wave and, like, seeing the dollar signs and then just streaming Rocket League and bringing their audience? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I didn't think about that.
I feel like I'd say 30 to 40%.
Why do you think I've been streaming Rocket League, bro?
That's dude, 30 to 40% comes from the free to play players, a new audience, right? I'd say another 20 to 30% comes from just streamers playing the game more and you know, streaming it more. And I say the other percentage comes from older players seeing the game's resurgence and coming back. I would say I'd say it's majority the new audience. And I'd say it's split between the streamers streaming it and also older players seeing it. So, but I think the numbers are crazy. I think it just shows, like, any game that's looking for, like, a resurgence in players should just go free to play. Because it's just, like, the amount of growth you get and the amount of people that want to try your game out is ridiculous. And I think some people will stay.
I don't think so. Specifically, I don't think so, because they have Epic backing them, and that's, like, a lot of advertising that we didn't see.
They're dipping into the Fortnite kids, you know.
There's TikTok ads.
The Fortnite thing was probably a huge deal. I know that they did do the thing where you have to play Rocket League to get Fortnite skins, so that's huge. But yeah, so I don't know. Free to play is goated. That's the end of the statement. Shout out Epic Games. Appreciate you guys.
I don't know if free to play is like always the answer for every game, but
for Epic Games, it is.
Like in our industry and with video games and honestly a lot of media, specifically YouTube, I guess, it's honestly like dictated by kids, by children. Like that is where the money is. Like, that's why you have that, like, kid that reviews kids' toys. It's one of the biggest YouTube channels.
Oh,
fucking,
my God.
Fucking Baby Shark just surpassed Despacito as the most viewed YouTube video with, like, over 7
Wait,
billion
really?
Views. 7
Despacito
billion.
Despacito got passed?
Seriously?
By Baby Shark.
No kids, way!
Kids. Kids are Wait. What run this industry, man, at the end of the day.
That's it. I'm going PG.
That's actually crazy.
Fudge it, boy.
Are you freaking serious, bro?
Hey, fudge Dude, you, actually, dog.
Actually, speaking of that specifically, so you mentioned how many people come from free to play while watching, like, because I mentioned how the viewership tripled or whatever. You mentioned how many people come from free to play. I have so many people coming in. How do you get, like, because I use Fennec and it's not like an easily obtainable car. They ask, how do you get that car? How do you flip reset?
Many
questions a day. Probably like 50% of my chat is just people asking like new person questions.
That's just yours, non-stop. Dude. Mine is just
hey, I'm stuck in silver, stuff like that.
Mine's literally just, what car is that? Is the Skyline in the game still? That's it. That's my whole chat.
That's like free to play questions still, though, because people don't understand. They don't know.
No,
they're asking you how to get the car.
No, I've been getting questions in my Rocket League streams that are like, hey, bro, give me some tips for a new player. And I'm like, bro, are you sure you want to be asking me? Like, of all the people? Like,
oh, no.
Oh, man.
All right, well, I think we've kind of covered free-to-play. We've kind of covered the growth of a lot of different channels. You know, it's good to see John Musty Sunless kind of running the top Rocket League. I know Squishy just hit 1 million, too, so shout-out Squishy.
Oh, yeah, I didn't even look at Squishy's stats, but, like, his average viewership on a video is, like, 300K now. And I already know his channel views has gone up so much.
Yeah, I know Squishy's views have went up, so Squishy hit 1 million. I think next up to hit 1 million is probably going to be...
Probably like Mertzi or somebody.
Yeah, probably Mertzi. Or like even maybe Leth.
Leth or Mertzi, I think that's it.
But yeah,
Jazer,
okay.
Jazer 2,
yeah. Jazer 2. Jazer's videos are actually really entertaining. I actually like.
Yeah, they
like,
are.
Just like the freestyle vibe. Yeah, him and Pulse kind of have the same vibe of videos. So it's kind of nice. But
wait, kind of irrelevant before you go in. Did you see when he was going to change his name to Moy? He was like making a Twitter poll, and
no.
He was like, "I'm gonna change my name to Moy."
Everybody was
like, "No,
hell no." He asked us that too in one of the videos that we did. You know, Energy does those random videos. He asked us that too, and everyone was like, "Fuck no!" Like, let's just don't do that ever. Jazer sounds sick. Jazer's a sick name.
It is. Gotta respect Jazer.
All right, so the last two parts of our podcast today. Are us kind of discussing, you know, games we started from, you know, how the impact it had on us growing up, you know, if we met friends through it, you know, how our career would have turned out if we didn't play those games, what games or what would we be doing basically if we weren't playing those games, stuff like that. So we're kind of going to discuss all that and then end on mental health. So let's start with the games that we started with. So I want to ask, you know, Rizzo and Chad first. I want to start with one of you guys. Let's start with Rizzo. What games did you start with, and what impact did it have on your life in or out of the game? You know, whether it's with your family, whether it's with friends you met online, anything.
Are you saying like just the first game I ever played, or like the one I was like actually addicted
no,
to?
No, no. One game that you associate
you
with
know,
a certain time of your life. Yeah.
Modern Warfare 2 when I was in middle school, hands down. Is that easy? I was in 7th grade. I didn't have that many friends in 7th grade. Like, I knew people, but every 8th grader, because you know how I do, you know, I'm the cool kid. Every 8th grader, or not every 8th grader, but, like, I had a bunch of 8th grade friends who I would play Modern Warfare 2 with because I didn't have classes with them, but I would always play Modern Warfare 2 with them. And that was, like, every single day, get home from school, go on Modern Warfare 2, talk to these guys, see them at school the next day, and it was just constant, over and over. Basically, once that game was dead, you know, I didn't really talk to them all that much anymore. But besides that, yeah, friendship over. But because they went to high school. But like, regardless of that, like, I played that game with those guys so much. Like, that is so significant to me, and I always remember that.
Okay, Chad, what about you?
Oh shoot, man, I don't know. I've been gaming forever. I definitely was like, I was on the 360 playing like all the CODs with like some friends from school for sure. But I would say like, probably one of the most like impactful or memorable experiences was Well, I got into I played some PC games like growing up. We had like Windows 98 on an old like piece of shit computer, dial up, you know, the whole nine. So I kind of dipped into PC gaming when I was like real, real young. But I took a break, like got into the whole console grind through middle school, just playing Call of Duty and like Halo and shit with all my friends. But I eventually ended up going back on the PC and I started playing like PC games again, like Counter-Strike and Halo 1 and like a bunch of stuff like that. And eventually I ended up jumping into Garry's Mod. And this is a game I dumped like, I want to say like 3K, maybe even more, honestly, like hours into. I played in this server. It was called Gang Wars. It was a custom game mode where basically you would, in Garry's Mod, you can like use props and like build things, right? So there were limitations set on the server. There was a map designed with like different buildings with like usable doors and like garages and things. So you would build a base using the props. And then inside the base, the whole like point of the game mode essentially was you make a gang, and then there's territories around the map that you like, you hit E and you like capture the territory and then you fight against the other gangs. And then in your base, you just like sit in your base all day. And you have money printers and like other types of like things that you're farming all day. You got to like hit use on them to like collect. So it was like, it was very much like all we did all fucking day was like either sit in base and farm like or like go gang. Fuck up the other gangs. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
That sounds like the most Garry's Mod game mode I've ever.
Yeah.
Heard. Oh, dude, it was honestly so much fun. I met like a real, real solid like group of homies from that. And that was the group of friends I ended up, you know, spending thousands of hours just hanging out with, shooting the shit. Cause you know, there's nothing. It's like you're waiting to get raided while you're protecting your shit farming. You know what I mean? Like you're waiting for someone to come fuck with you. Yeah. So we would just like chill, shoot the shit. Some of like the best pals I made, honestly. And then those are the guys that also went on to play like other games like DayZ Mod and stuff. And eventually, like when I started streaming, that was like my group of homies that I streamed along, like that played with me while I streamed when I first got into it.
Yeah, that's lit. What in Garry's Mod like made it feel like it was like a real gang? Because I feel like I remember I played it with you. I played it with you, right? Okay. And it didn't feel like we were like a real gang, right? Remember when we played?
Yeah, I mean that. Yeah, we kind of like jumped into it, like
yeah. But like, so I'm saying, did you guys dead, hop bro. On like every day? Dead. Like it was yeah, like, we'd a, wake like up, a Discord call ready
team
to go.
Speak, hop in
TeamSpeak. Oh, it's TeamSpeak.
Yeah, everyone would just like meet in TeamSpeak every day. It was like our hangout room. Like we just chilled in TeamSpeak, even if we weren't playing necessarily. But like we might as well hop in the server and farm if we're just gonna chill. Yeah. Anyway, you know what I mean? So.
Yeah, no, those games that you can hop on and chill was nice. That's where it felt like you were kind of actually playing with your, like, squad, like, your homies.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's like the, whenever a game is, like, has, like, an impact on my life, I feel like it's because I can relate it to a certain group of people I played with.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely.
But the second part that I kind of probably should have added on to the first part was, did gaming, right, did playing those games and stuff affect like your school and or like, I'll just relate it to the parent part to the next question too. Affect your school and or parents. I'll go on to this after myself, but I want to keep going with you guys since we're fresh on your subjects. But you know, did the games and did all the gaming, not only just the one game you played, did it affect your parents negatively or positively? And you know, with the school, were you failing?
Just right out there, right out the gate. For me, Modern Warfare 2 wasn't bad because I was still in middle school, so like I don't know, it really wasn't that bad. It's hard to, you know, hard to mess up that bad.
Yeah.
But you know, after freshman year of high school, going into you know grade 10, playing some more. I didn't play Modern Warfare 2 anymore, but I played like Minecraft and League of Legends, and yeah, I was pretty bad in school. I was pretty bad. Okay. I don't know, man.
All right. So we'll move on from Rizzo. We can see Rizzo's a delinquent. And we'll go over to Chad.
There's some pain in there. Yeah.
Yeah. You can tell there's some
gotta,
pain
like,
in there.
I got to like intro this by like stroking myself off a little bit. I was kind of the kid in school that like shit just like made sense to me. So like I could do none of the homework, never pay attention, but show up on test day and get like one of the best grades. You know what
okay.
I mean?
Me too. But yeah. I stopped showing up.
So that enabled me to just like fucking slack off. Like I coasted through school. It was like it was no problem, right? It was no problem. But I would say it didn't really start impacting until I started streaming. So I would say it didn't really do too much like up until my junior year of high school. And then that's when I was like really grinding like CSGO and like some other stuff. And the people I was playing with at the time, we would play till like 6 a.m, like all fucking night. Oh, and so, of course, like then I have to like be ready to go to school in like an hour. Not happening, bro. Like I would just go to sleep and then like come in at like noon and like do a half day, or I would roll up early as fuck and just like sleep through all of my morning classes. And yeah, I got in a little bit of trouble for that. And I think by senior year, my senior year attendance rate, because I was literally just streaming all night and then like barely even going to class, was like around like 50%.
No,
which is like
way.
Which is
Jesus.
Like literally are not like allowed to even like graduate.
Can't you literally like next, suspended like, for
like the, so yeah. My mom, so like a little backstory, my mom worked at the school. She was a secretary. So I think I got,
you got a bribery, bro.
I think I got away with a little more than I was supposed to. Okay. But I also wasn't like, I wasn't a problematic kid. You know what I mean? Like, I got fucking good grades. Like, I just did well on shit. And, like, you know, I think there was some sort of mutual respect between me and my teachers, like, senior year, too. Because, like, it was kind of like, they were like, why are you never, like, what is this? Like, you got to come to class. I'm just like, do I?
Wait, listen. Dude, you basically explained the same thing for me. You said senior, but mine was sophomore year. There was the dean for my high school was also my middle school gym teacher. So I knew him. I just called him Coach. Okay. He's just a homie. Even when he was the dean for high school, I called him Coach.
Hey, what's up, Coach?
Yeah, I just said, what's up, Coach? And he would call me Rizzo, you know? It's like a homie thing.
Yeah.
You're Rizzo. I got called into his office one day. He goes, Rizzo. Here's the thing. He said, you're supposed to have one day of in-school suspension, or actually out-of-school suspension, something like that. You're supposed to have one day of out-of-school suspension for every day that you miss or every 3 tardies or something like that. Basically, I'm supposed to have a fuck ton of in-school, out-of-school suspension. And he's like, but if I give you out-of-school suspension, you'd probably like that. So he's like, so I'm just going to give you one day of in-school suspension. Otherwise, you'd be here till the end of summer. And I literally was just like, thank you, Coach. I'll accept it, or something like that. I was just like, thank you, Coach. That's fine. I'm not complaining. And I was like, thank you, Coach. I'll take it. You know, I'll come in. I'll do it on that day. Don't worry about it.
Hey,
he's like,
bro,
he's like, thank you. I really hope you show up for your one day of in-school suspension. I was like, I will. Don't worry.
Dude, we had that at my school too, which I feel like is the most like ass backwards shit ever. Like, you're going to take the kid that is skipping school on purpose, and his punishment is he is not allowed to come to school.
Yeah, it makes no fucking sense, dude.
Bro.
Yeah. It makes no fucking sense.
Yeah.
At least in-school suspension, that makes sense. You force them to come to school.
Yeah, I was forced in-school suspension because I think it was I was supposed to have out of school because I missed so many days. But he was just like, I'm going to force you to do in-school so you're actually here.
Damn.
I was like, fair enough.
Damn. Too much Minecraft for eating salsa to go to
Minecraft,
school.
Too much League of Legends.
That's
crazy. I don't know what it was, bro.
Oh, man.
What about you, Miana? What game? Like, what group or of friends or what game? Like, really?
Yeah,
like,
yeah. I'll just go through my whole spiel for you, dude. I got you. So there's 4 games I dedicate like memories to. Like the first one was CS 1.6. The second one was Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 and Modern Warfare both. And then number 3 was League of Legends. And number 4 is Rocket League. Those are like the 4 games I have like sectioned in the periods of my life. Okay. Age 7 was when I started playing CS 1.6. Before that, I was on like console. And CS 1.6, I literally was a fucking loser. Like, no friends. Like, absolute fucking loner playing 1.6. There was no one I knew on the game except for my cousins. And they wouldn't even play with me because I was 7 years old. So I basically played 1.6 since I was 7 years old. And I had a laptop and I played on that. Up until Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 was released. Once Modern Warfare 2 was released, that's when I met my whole group of boys that you guys know, the TDC homies. They all go to high school. Imagine there's 8 dudes at your high school that go together. They all play Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2. So yeah, so there's 9 of us, including me. And then they're toxic as fuck all to each other, right? It's a good group of friends. If you're toxic to your friends, that's how you know it's a good group. So
true.
And then we had two others that we met online, Naveed and Phil. So there, we had 11 people. All of us met online. So that makes sense. Nine of us online, two. Fuck my English. Nine of us in school, two online. And now, how many years later? 8 years later, 9 years later, it's, we're out of high school. You know, some of us are done with college. We're all still friends. Literally every person in the group, we're all still friends. And that same group of people is who I play League of Legends with. And League of Legends was like, that was a huge period of my life. I played that since the beginning it came out. And that was literally the only game I played, like, I tweaked on. And, like, there were so many moments that I could, like, recall that were, like, just good times in my life from League of Legends. And nowadays, look at the game. I fucking hate it. You know, Rizzo, we can only play ARAM. I can't play that game anymore.
Yeah, but I can't touch the main game anymore.
Yeah, back in the day, like, I learned so much about esports. I learned so much about, like, you know, just playing with a group of people, playing with a group of friends, and, like, having fun. Like, so much of that was through League and through Call of Duty. And, and surprisingly, since I mentioned the school subject to you guys, I actually never got below a B in high school. And I was really surprised because, like...
That's cool, bro. Hey, Chad, look at this fucking dweeby.
Listen, dude. Listen. But you know why? You know why? That's because of my parents. My parents, like, I would get my fucking ass whooped on the regular. Like, no cap on a stack. You know, you bring out the fucking...
on a stack.
You bring out the belt. They bring out the chocolate. You bring out the fucking chancla. Sandal. And you bring out the water bottle. Those are the three weapons of choice. The belt was rare. The belt was like, you know, like once. Maybe. I don't even remember if it happened. The sandal was the most common because it was easy access. So the sandal, I'd get my ass whooped if I wasn't studying and I wasn't like my parents would get a progress report and I'd have a lower grade. Then they'd beat my ass until I get some sense into me and then I'd get back into an A. So I graduated high school with a 4.3 GPA and and somehow I played endless amounts of hours on League and Call of Duty and CS the whole way through. And then I ended on Rocket League, and now I'm a depressed human being. So,
no, I feel like I had a couple C's, I think, throughout like all of high school, just a few. But like I said, like I tested really well, and then like me and my boys, like we're all about we called them QCs, the quick cop. We'd get the quick cop on the homework from somebody that did it, and then just turn that bitch in. You know what I mean?
I feel you, dude.
The QC.
Yeah, bro. Get the quick cop, you know?
I feel you, the quick cop. That was what everyone did.
Because, like, some classes weighted homework, like, super hard. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, like, just, like, had to turn it in, you know?
Yeah, I've had classes that are, like, 30% homework. I'm like, thank fucking God, honestly, because it's just less effort on the exam. So, maybe even more, like, 50% homework.
Since we're talking about high school, did you guys had summer reading, I'm assuming, right?
What is that?
Like, no, wait.
Like, you guys don't have summer reading?
I've had AP assignments where I have to read stuff over summer and then write an essay on it, stuff like that.
Yeah, you have an assignment. You have to read a book over the summer and like do a project.
I've had AP assignments like that.
I never had anything like that.
Oh, wow. Okay, so we had that like every year, basically.
Even non-AP?
I never read one of those books, bro.
Oh, my God.
Never once.
I'm not going to fucking lie. I didn't either.
No. I'm at the beach with the babes, bro. Y'all.
bro, I fucking...
Spark Notes.
What was that?
Spark Notes.
Yeah, Spark Notes. I was trying to think of the name. Spark Notes was the only... I never read a book. Spark Notes.
So good.
And Wikipedia. Anyone that says Wikipedia wasn't good info is a liar. Wikipedia... fantastic info. All the teachers that were like, oh, don't cite Wikipedia. Fuck off, dude. Wikipedia is more accurate than 90% of the websites out on the planet. 100%, that's facts.
Oh, you still use Wikipedia because guess what? All of the sources are at the bottom of the wiki page. Then you just go directly to the source. And guess what?
True.
That is now your source, dude. Not
true.
Wikipedia. All their sources.
So. You know, this assignment is going to sound crazy to you guys. This assignment was called, I forgot the name of it. This assignment, basically, specialties. It was called specialties. And basically, to summarize it, you have to write 24 minimum handwritten pages.
24 handwritten, can't be written on a PC. Each page needs minimum two different sources, and each page needs to be on a different subject based on the category of history you chose. So I chose like theater, right? So I wrote 24 handwritten pages in one night.
There are two subjects on a page?
Two subjects per page. So like, for example, if it was theater, I would do one subject on like Shakespeare and one on like how his dick is big, right? And so yeah, I would write...
You did 48... So, wait,
48. And each page had two books cited to it. So 48 minimum sources amongst 24 pages written in one night, and every single source I got was fake. I got it all from Wikipedia, and I used EasyBib to find fake sources on the subject.
EasyBib.
EasyBib was the shit. EasyBib was the shit.
Fucking MLA format. It doesn't
fuck all your MLA, Chicago format, any format you wanted, ready at your hand. So I just fucking wrote some bullshit down. I just copy. I didn't. Even, I was. There's no copy paste because I gotta handwrite it. So I just copy paste handwritten everything from the website onto the page. Easy peasy. One night, 24 hours, no sleep. Submitted it.
Damn. Wait, like when was this? Is high school?
This was high school, junior year.
My God, I never had to do anything horrible. That.
Yeah, it was like, bro. I'll never forget it. I still have that workload. Oh my God.
No, I still have the paper saved.
Make a poster with like planets on it and stuff.
Yeah. We get the trifold boards and like tape some shit on, bro.
No, I'll never forget that assignment. That still gives me nightmares to this day. If you ask anyone from Valhalla High School about that assignment, they will all remember Valhalla. That. It was fucking crazy. All right, well, I think that kind of covers that subject. Let's lead into the last two, the last part of this subject, and we'll go into mental health.
Yeah.
What would you guys be doing if you were not doing gaming? This is a tough one, honestly. This is a tough one.
I legitimately don't even know.
I'm probably homeless, dude.
I'm under the bridge, honestly, if you want to bunk.
There's some room over here, bro.
I was gonna do basic classes and get like prereqs for at like a community college, so it's cheaper, and then go to like university for something else. But like, I legitimately had no idea what I wanted to do. Now, actually, like, I would actually be really be interested in like programming and stuff, like anything of the sort. Kind of what, not specifically what Leth does, but something similar. Mm. I feel like I would actually be interested in something like that. But at the time. 5 years ago. Oh God. 5 years of this shit.
Jesus.
At the time, 5 years ago, I legitimately just had no idea.
My, Papa Rizzo, at Rizzo, my Christmas list, looking for a belt or sandals.
La chancla.
La chancla. I don't know what I would be doing. Like, I had like a weird... like little situation where like, I went into college like not thinking I would even do anything related to gaming, because like, you know, I thought gaming was just like a fun thing I would do on the side, and then esports just kind of happened by itself. And I was originally going in as business to take over my dad's business, because I think Chad knows some of my dad's business. He has like a warehouse and stuff, and you know, he distributes across California different, you know, different types of WIC products and such. And so I was thinking maybe I'll just go help my dad expand his business. You know, I'll help take it over. Now I can use any of the new modern knowledge to help his business. And then I decided, you know, midway through that, like, I didn't really enjoy it, because I helped my dad with his business, but I never really like enjoyed it. So I'm like, am I really going to do something like I don't really enjoy too much? So then I switched to bio, and I was trying to go into dentistry. And then I finished like a year or two of bio. I finished physics, all that stuff. I got a lot of the prereq classes finished so I can go into the major courses. And then I decided right when I was done with all the prereqs for bio, I'm going to switch back to business. So I switched back to business now. Oh, and then I took two more semesters, and I took a class of computer science as well with coding. And I don't know if I have my viewer Toaster in chat, but I had a teacher who literally was his first year teaching Python.
And he had no fucking clue how to teach this fucking program. So I'm there, and this dude can't teach a program for coding, and he's giving us about one sheet of information a week about like how to code an entire program about and like making a website and shit. And I'm just sitting there like struggling, and I'm like thinking like I have so much experience on a PC. There's no way these other idiots in my class are not struggling. Like that's what I'm thinking. And I go and I check the I find out the average for the last exam, right? I got like an 84, and everyone the average was like a 50 for the exam. And I'm like, this guy is fucked. This teacher is ruining everyone. Everyone's grades are fucked. And he had to curve so much. I ended the class with a B, and he had to curve so much of the grades because of how shitty of a teacher he was. But like, anyway, I'm getting too much off topic. Anyway, I took a computer programming class, and I kind of liked it, but I still kind of am going business now, and I need two more semesters to finish, and I'm taking them off because we were supposed to be traveling a lot, but Corona hit, so we're no longer traveling, and traveling while trying to study and do exams, especially at my school, is impossible because you cannot change any of the finals dates, so it just fucks you anally, like bad. But anyway, Chad, move on to you.
Oh, dude, I don't know what I would be doing, man. I guess, well, so when I was in high school, my last 2 years of my junior and senior year of high school, we had this, like, it was called the West Shore Career Tech Program. So essentially, we could enroll in a class that would give us college credit, like, while we were still in high school. So I ended up going into this, it was interactive media is what they called it. It's like visual communication and design. So all sorts of, like, digital media, basically. Like, we learned how to build websites. We learned how to use like all of the Adobe suite and everything like that. We did photography stuff. We did all kinds of stuff like that. So I probably would have ended up, I actually did go to college for a semester too. This was when Rocket League was taken off, and it actually cut into my like Rocket League and my stream grind a bit. So then I got like really depressed too. I wasn't happy at school. And so I ended up like coming back and then getting back into streaming like real hard. But I imagine I would have probably just stuck it out and gone into some sort of field related to design, something like that.
Like what kind of design? Like graphics design, you mean?
Yeah, or yeah, mean graphic like, design, like clothing. Video editing, stuff like that.
Okay.
You ever seen those like graphic design is my passion pictures? With like a little toad on it or something?
Yeah. So I probably would have done something like that. That or I guess like I potentially would have gone like super hard into sports, but I kind of that's how I like got into gaming was I had like a really promising sports career. I was like a year round athlete playing like every sport you could name since I was like 4 years old, I think was when I first started like playing soccer. So I was like super, super fit, like athletic guy like my whole life. And then I was out, I skated too. I skateboarded, right? I was out skating one day. And I landed, I was doing like a flip, like a kickflip off a box, and I landed primo. So primo's like, you know, when your board's like, the wheels are on the ground, like your board's like this, right? So it's like when it's turned, like
sideways, degrees, yeah.
So you land on like two wheels and then the side of the board.
Were
so
you trying like to land like that to for like
no,
a trick?
No, okay. I just caught it. I caught it really bad.
Okay.
So I landed primo trying to do this kickflip and both of my knees fucking pop, pop, and I just like collapsed to the ground. I couldn't walk.
Oh my God.
Turns out I have something called Osgood Schlatter, which is, it's like an issue with your growth plate and like the tendons or something like that. And it happens, from like overuse, while you're still like developing and growing. So,
Jesus
Christ.
That kind of,
I was a really, really good athlete though. Like, I wrestled at states, both years prior to that. And I was looking to probably like do some sort of wrestling career throughout high school and into college, if not some other sport. But that's kind of what drove me to gaming too, because I couldn't compete anymore, you know. And like my life was competition, so that's when I started like really fucking gaming like hardcore. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah,
you know what's funny?
The game servers after that.
You know what's funny? It's that. Like it's not like similar, but the reason I started like grinding hard games like when I started playing Rocket League, the moment Rocket League came out was also when I broke my ankle because we were playing volleyball and I landed on my friend Randy's
foot. Oh my God, sorry, I remember that, bro.
You remember that?
I remember that's like when we met.
That was when we met.
Forgot about that.
So I broke my ankle. I broke my I forgot the name of the it was a fracture of the fibula. It was something in your ankle. Anyway, and I don't remember what it was. And for a year, I couldn't play sports. It was horrible. Like, I literally couldn't do anything. I went to volleyball sessions on a cast and sat in the back, just hitting the ball, standing still, hitting it like this. Just not moving. And just everyone just like, and then no one's targeting me because they feel bad because they know I can't move. So I'm sitting in the back just AFK fucking watching everyone spike and shit. I'm like, cool, guys. That's cool. So I'm just AFK in the back. So I started grinding Rockley like hard because I have nothing else to do because my broken ankle. So then that was like when I had like 100 hours in 2 weeks. And then everything kind of went formed together. I guess if you want to go pro in a video game, just get injured. You'll never have a fucking life again.
True.
All right, well, let's get to talk about all that. Let's go. We're going to briefly touch on this last subject. I know Chad has a good story that he was offering to tell in regards to some mental health. So we just wanted to kind of go over this. You know, it's kind of, I know it's not like the main mental health month. But, you know, it is November, you know, it's a subject that kind of anyone talks about year round. So it's something good to at least cover. So, Chad, why don't you go ahead and, you know, take the stage here, you know?
Yeah. So, yeah, I brought this topic to the table because it's something that I struggle with and deal with on a day to day basis. And me and Rizzo have a bit of a story from the season 2 land in Amsterdam that I figured. We'd go ahead and share it because I think it's important to talk about. It's important to spread awareness, and it being Movember, it's the time to raise awareness among men's health, not just physical but also mental. So when we were in season 2 land, it was the night, I believe it was the night of the after party. I was hanging out with a buddy like the whole night. He was going through some shit. And so I ended up like taking care of him for the rest of the night. He came back, like he stayed in my hotel. You know, I made sure he was like okay, and until he was like in a good enough mental state to get back to his place and get home because he was flying out that day or whatever, taking the train or whatever it was. So I took care of him. I sent him on his way. And as soon as that door closed and I got back into my hotel room, I just lost it. Like I've never experienced, like I've definitely dealt with a little bit of depression and anxiety in my life prior to that, but I've never really had such like an awful panic attack. It's like this motion in the middle of your body that like won't stop, and everything is very intense and you feel manic and like you can't like handle anything that's happening, even if nothing's really happening. And so like, dude, I was losing my shit. And you know, I'm like, I'm across the world from where I am. I'm in a country I've never been, you know, like it was very, very scary. It was very scary for me. And it was a very hard time. And if it wasn't for Rizzo and our other teammate at the time, Zane Jackie, I'm sure some of you guys remember him. I'm not really sure what would have happened, man. It was a very hard experience for me. And I'm honestly really blessed that you guys came to the hotel room and just, you know, helped me even with the most basic tasks, like helping me just like pack up my shit and like just being in the room while I like went over and like took a shower in the bathroom, and just like having that company was everything that I needed to help me like push through that. And after that, like we still ended up staying for like the rest of the week, and like it was a great trip the rest of the way. It was just this like this huge hurdle I had to overcome. And since this is, you know, the month where we're kind of spreading awareness, I feel like I would share this story and talk about how Rizzo and Zane were both like really, really good friends to me and were there to help me and support me. And I want to talk a little bit about how I think it's important to share your experiences and sort of talk about what you're going through. I know it's not easy for everybody, and everybody's a little different, and maybe not everyone has those people in their lives, but I think it's important that if you are feeling some type of way or you don't feel okay, you should find those people in your life and reach out to them and talk to them, because it can make all the difference. And I don't know if you have any insight into that experience, Dylan, but you know, I think it's important. I think especially I wanted to bring this to the Rocket League community because there's a lot of you guys that are young, and I know when I was younger, it was weird and it was hard to deal with. But I think the sooner you understand and like can try to work towards bettering yourself and fixing these things and helping yourself, And, you know, relying on people in your life and your friends and your family, it's not like a thing of weakness or anything. I think it's huge and very important for your relationships and for your own well-being. But do you have any insight into that story at all, Dylan?
Yeah, I was about to say, if you don't mind me adding a few things. Mm-hmm. I think from my perspective, because I was helping you deal with this, and it was not something I've ever done before, because me and Zane, we shared a room, and Chad was in some other room across the hotel or whatever. And we got a text saying, like, I don't even know what it was specifically. Probably just something along the lines of, like, I'm freaking out or something like that. So we went over there to your room, and I had never dealt with this specifically, but just we, like, went in there, and it was super, like, steamy because you were trying to shower, but you couldn't shower or something like that. And it's such a weird thing because it's the most, like, mundane task. You know, taking a shower, that's like your everyday thing. Yeah. But when you're in this situation, you feel like you can't do that. And you feel like you can't get yourself to do something like that. And again, being in my situation where I'm trying to help him, I feel like if somebody else is ever in this situation, you just kind of need to listen and hear them out, no matter how mundane, again, the task might be, whether it's like, I need to take a shower or I need to pack, because those are two things that we helped him do. Before we ended up leaving the hotel. But just like hearing the person out when they're struggling through that is so important to that person, especially. And then there was something else that I actually can't remember right now, but yeah, I don't know. It was just, I mean, I was just helping a homie out, you know what I'm saying?
No, yeah.
Like, I think Zane's there too. Yeah.
I think that's huge too, because a lot of people, like, if someone comes to you with like a problem, a lot of people try to like find a solution for your issue. But a lot of the time, these things don't make sense because, yeah, you know, definitely. It's in your head, you know, it's not really necessarily real, even if it feels so real to you. So not trying to necessarily like fix them and say like, oh, you got to do this, you got to do this. Just be there and listen, no matter like how left to center I go, no matter how much I'm spiraling, just having somebody there to sort of keep you grounded and keep you moving and help you along. And I think if you're ever in that position, you should definitely just listen and just be there, just being there, letting, you know, whoever it is, if it's me or whatever, just, you know, like, let me run through it. Let me just like spew everything I have. Like, let me just like freak out and just be there and see me through it. You know what I mean? I think that's a huge part. That's a huge part of it.
I remember the other thing I was going to mention now. It was specifically because we were, because the event was over and then we were there for like 3 or 4 more days just hanging out. And at the time, Chad specifically was like, I don't want to be here. I want to get like a flight home. Like, that was your intention. You didn't want to be there. And I've had panic attacks. I've had anxiety attacks where I feel the same exact way. It's like, why am I here? What am I doing? Like, I need to leave. You just feel like you need to get out, but you also feel like you can't leave at the same exact time. It's such a weird situation to be in when you're in like that mental state. But I remember just sitting there being like, oh yeah, but like, do you really want to leave? Like, we had talked about it a bunch. You're like, yeah, I want to leave. And then I was like, oh, are you sure you want to leave? And then we basically just talked through it. And then eventually you fell asleep. And Chad passed out for like 10 minutes. And then me and Zane were sitting there like, do we let him sleep? And then he just slept for a bit. And then we ended up, you know, he was still okay, but you know, he was there. And then, yeah, we ended up just going through it. And then we had a great weekend. But I think the important part again is the stress being there for that person.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Yeah. And I like, think,
sorry, go you ahead, go?
Oh, okay.
No, go.
I think everyone kind of has some sort of mental health issues they deal with, like you know, I've certain ones to a certain degree. Like, I remember one time I just tweeted out like a sad face. I think the first person that messaged me was actually Chad when I tweeted out the sad face, and it was literally just like I was like in like a bad spot about like, you know, what I was doing in my life. Like, I didn't know if I should be streaming or if I should be like, you know, trying to keep going pro. It was like some weird mental, I forgot how, it was so long ago, but there's like varying extents of mental health. And like, you know, that time in particular for me, it wasn't that bad for me. There's been other times I've been in a lot worse spots, like, you know, mainly with like, if it was like a relationship issue or if it was you know, just some sort of life issue. There's so many different things that could affect someone mentally. And even this one time, I remember I was playing League of Legends with Rizzo, and I don't know if it was like a stress buildup or something, but I literally started sitting there. I was like mid jungle and I started just like sweating and just like, like not being able to breathe normally. And Rizzo was in the call with me, and I just was just like, I was like, what the fuck is going on? I was like, I don't know what it was. I don't know if it was like a stress attack or something. But I'm sitting there with Rizzo, and Rizzo just like has no clue what to do or say. And I'm just like, not breathing normally and like sweating and just like sitting in my chair in some weird position. And eventually just went away. But I don't know. I feel like it's all this ends up being build up and like not handling it correctly. And like the longest time what took for me was to realize like it has to be priority for your own happiness over others and making sure that you are in a good mindset before you try to put others into a better mindset. Like you can't be going around trying to preach, trying to preach to others about how to be a better human and how to like, you know, take it easier in life when you can't even when you can't even find Solomon yourself. You know, it's just, there's so many things that so many factors that add up to mental health, and you can't kind of jumble it up into some small little batch. It's like different strains of a disease. Like it's crazy how strenuous it can be on some people.
Yeah. And I just want to clarify just because like you aren't 100% doesn't mean you can't be there for your boys or you're somebody else.
That's true. No, 100%. 100%.
Yeah.
100%.
A lot of times when somebody's going through something and they reach out, they just want somebody, most of the time, they just want somebody to listen. They're not really even looking for advice, although you can offer it. Most of the time, they just want somebody to hear them out.
Yeah. Yeah. True. And honestly, just listening and not even like, I feel like the worst thing you could do is try to tell someone the obvious answer when they're like in a mental breakdown state.
You know, something to do is you just say, "Do you want advice?"
And they say, exactly. No,
or they say, "Yeah," and they'll answer truthfully too.
Yeah, straight up. Because I feel like the worst thing you could do is try to be like, "Oh, just stop being sad over this." Like that's not how it works, you know. You just can't. That's just not how
happy,
it works.
Just be happy.
Yeah. Oh, just be happy, forehead. So.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's how it works.
This was a topic that was pretty important to me, and I feel like it'd be a good thing to discuss on the podcast. This being mostly a Rocket League podcast, and a lot of the community being younger guys, dealing with struggles. I'm sure there's some of you out there, looking for some sort of help or, any sort of just peace, so I just want you guys to know that you're not alone. A lot of us go through these things, a lot of us deal with it, and it's okay to reach out to people and try to find that support system that you need. And just raise that awareness. This is the month to do it. Check in on your homies, especially with the lockdown from COVID and everything. Check in on your friends, man. Be there for each other. That's 100%. All we got is each other, right?
For real. So, that's facts. Love that. Keep the circle close. You know what I'm saying? All right, well, I think that's a pretty good subject to end on. It's a touchy subject, of course, but it's good to bring it up. Good to at least, let everyone know. We're streamers. Everyone thinks our lives are perfect. That's not how it is. We all streamers go through some stuff in the background that they try to push through. And at the end of the day, everyone, you're not alone. Everyone goes through it. So just try to look for someone to reach out to if you're ever in a rough spot. We all love you guys, me, Rizzo, and Chad. We love you guys. Hope you guys are all in a good state. And, we appreciate you all coming out to listen to the podcast. And, that's pretty much it for the day.
That's it for the biz.
That's it for the biz. It's a wrap. Episode 3.
Yeah, I feel we should mention the biz is on YouTube, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts. Check them out on all platforms. They'll be uploaded the following day after the live show. So if those are your cup of tea, they'll be there. So feel free to check those out. And that's all I got for you.
Yes, sir. Make sure to, drop us all follows on our own channels. You got at Chad, at Rizzo _TV, and at Sizz. So, thank you for coming by. I really hope you guys enjoyed the pod. And, we'll do more of these every week. Make sure to tune in next week, Monday. 6:30, somewhere around there. We always switch it up.
Yeah, we're always a little late.
We switch it up, but all right, everyone, let's go to the we don't have an ending soon stream scene, so we're gonna go ahead and just head over to the full cam Rizzo stream ending scene. So
okay,
we'll do that. Little Cam Rizzo over here.
Perfect. Oh, yeah. There we go. All
right, guys. Oh, yeah. All right, we'll see you guys next time. Everyone have a good night.
Oh,
good night, man. Everybody. And we love you guys. Peace out, boys.
We'll be right back.